Lift your hands and worship the Lord again, would you? Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I want to have you to stand with me. Thank you so much, Sister Johnson, for leading us in worship. Outstanding job that you did. Brother Johnson preached for us Sunday night and did a remarkable job. Didn't you think? Our very own Micah Johnson. We've had some time in fellowship with him this week, and I think he's going back to Stockton tomorrow. So they'll be headed back home. But it's always good to have them here. And we have our very own Mike Powers here with us. We're claiming Mike, our very own Mike Powers. 102.5. And we appreciate him so much and all the help he's given to us. And he's come here and promoted Touch Twice and so many things that we do. He's interviewed a good number of our ministers on the radio and got the word out of things that we're trying to do to help our community. And I appreciate not just his effort for us, but what he's doing in our community for the cause of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Powers. Yes. Then thank you, all of you who are members of OSIS Unidos. Thank you for being in attendance. Raise your hand if you're a member of OSIS, okay? Raise your hand, okay? All right. I know Brother Nick down on the front is. I see him at Kentucky Fried Chicken all the time, so. I remember talking to his brother, Noah, and I said, I'd forgotten his name, see? And so I said, your brother. And he says, Nick? And I said, yeah, but isn't that his nickname? And I said, what is his name? And he took a stab at it. And I said, well, I call him Nick because I can't say that. And he says, I call him Nick, too, because I can't say it either. Good to see all of you here in the house of the Lord. Oh, my God is so good, isn't he? And tonight what we're going to do is talk about some things that we have planned for 2011. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, and I want to read verse 32. And what is happening here is David is talking about his mighty men of valor and the position that they hold and how many he had and such. David had everything organized quite well. He had men that would go on the front lines, and some would do this and some would do that, and some had this position to do and some had that position. Verse 32, the Bible says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were in their commandment. So, this is the scripture that I want to use tonight. If you notice, the first thing the Bible says, they had understanding of the times. In other words, they seemed to know what was taking place. And then the next thing, it says, they knew what to do about the knowledge or the understanding that they have. I've heard this since, I don't know, way back in 1982 or someplace back then, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's been predictions made, 88 reasons why the Lord's coming in 1988. Now I'm hearing that the Lord is coming back in is it April or May of this year? May. First I heard April, so, and then I heard May. And you may say, do you not believe that? Well, You know, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't know the seasons or the season in which he's coming back. But Jesus said, you know, when you see all these things come to pass, he said, look not to the right nor the left, but look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And what he's basically saying is that when you think it's time for the Lord to come back, don't get your eyes on what's happening in the world around you. To the extent that you lose focus on what you are to do up until the time that he is to come, and that is to preach the gospel to the lost. So he said, look up, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. So the gift of these men was twofold. First, they knew the hour, or what was going on around them. And secondly, they knew what to do with what was occurring. Literally, these men had one job to do, and that is to seize the moment. And tonight, I want to talk about Seize the Moment 2011. God bless you. May be seated. It's hard to believe that since Y2K, that we have come so far as time is concerned. But a lot of things have happened here at Calvary Gospel Church. This past year, we set a goal of 325 souls. We did not reach that goal. We had 255. But if my calculations are right, since the year of 2000 included, plus 2010, an 11-year stretch, we have now baptized over 3,000 people. Now, this is a lot of people. Give the Lord a big hand for that. This is a lot of people, and you have to have a lot of visitors coming through in order to do what we have done here at Calvary Gospel Church. This past week, we were down in attendance somewhat. Our attendance was 747. Now, in our weekly services and extensions, we had 1,245 people, but different people, because some of these people attended one, two, and some three services. We had 747 in attendance. I really thank the Lord for that. That's about 100 less than what we've been running. And we have gone up to over 1,000 in 1 week. I think the week after camp, we went 1,100. So God has really been good to us here at Calvary Gospel Church. For the most part, you know, you look around tonight and you see a lot of empty seats. Wednesday night is well attended, usually a little more so than now. I assume that maybe the snow, but why would snow bother people in Wisconsin? Tell me why. You remember on December the 11th when we had a blizzard warning and we called service off and some of the men came over here to see if they could plow? And would you believe at service time, in drives a car full of visitors? So you're not having church this morning? I said, you know, it's a blizzard warning. I remember last year we had an ice storm, and you couldn't even drive across the parking lot. So I'm not for sure just who it was. I think Brother Marvin Remick came over here to salt. And he got over here, and there was a car that drove in, and they had come from Milwaukee to be in service with us. We had called the service off. Well, I tell people this, you know, if you think that the weather's kind of marginal, the best thing to do is just think about it. Now, if I were going to work, would I go, and would my employer expect me to go? Now, I do believe one thing, and that is that all of us have a very understanding boss. But on the other hand, when I read the Bible, I know that commitment or dedication is very, very important. Because when you miss, and of course I may be speaking to some people who are not here, you know, but nevertheless, when you miss, sometimes you miss some information that's very valuable and some information that will keep you in focus. You know, the New Testament church obviously found some things in God that a lot of Christians are not finding today. But one thing that they found, they knew how to follow their leaders, and they knew how to worship God in one mind and one accord. In other words, when they got together, they knew how to focus. In America, we have so many things that pulls us away from the primary cause of Christ. It was Brother Hawk that was talking about taking things for granted. You know, it's easy to take things for granted. And here at Calvary Gospel Church, we take things for granted. We've had people to move from our church and go other places that have called back and said, you know, I just can't seem to find the right church. I thought when I left, everything's going to be just like it is here at Calvary Gospel Church, worship, preaching. And that's not necessarily true. Now, that doesn't mean that we're much better than everybody else. It just means that we have a way of doing things, and you get accustomed to doing it. And when you go someplace and they're not doing it this way, then you don't feel like that it's right. I have told people that have chosen to move, I said, don't ever move to a location only for your job. Make sure that if you're going to a location, getting a transfer on your job, go there and check out the churches before you make a commitment to move. Because I have never known, not one time, of anyone that has moved across the country or across the state or wherever, solely for a job and church was secondary, that when they got there, that they were happy because of the move they made. I've never known of that to happen. It seems like if you put your job first and your church and God last, then it just doesn't work out. That's not the way we establish priorities. The number one priority in our life is what? God. The number two priority is what? The family of God. The number three priority is what? The work of God. And it has to be in that order. Now, that doesn't mean that a move or a job transfer is wrong. It just simply means make sure that you've got a good church home to attend. Make sure that you have. Now, here at Calvary Gospel Church, we've had this building filled to 80% or above for some time. Last Sunday morning and Sunday night, we just had a lot of people here in the house of God. And sometimes we think, you know, that we can't do anything about this. I personally, you know, we have the plans that are being drawn. We thought we were going to get them by the first of the year, and we didn't. But even if we had the plans, we're not ready to build. It seems to me that if the building is so important, and it is very important, that we're going to have to look for ways in which we can get more people in here or have more services. I think this year you're going to see another service start up. Because the church building does, in most cases, determine the size of the body. It, you know, be like you having a child that had brand new shoes, and the child outgrew the shoes, and you said, nope, not buying any more shoes. I'm going to push that little foot down in there, and I'm going to tighten those laces, and he or she's going to wear those shoes. You know, in certain parts of the world, they do that. So they allow the shoe to determine the size of the foot. And I'm thinking that here at Calvary Gospel Church, it may be for some time now we've allowed the building to determine the size of the body. Now, this is not the first time we've been in this position. When we built phase one, we finished phase one in 1987, I think it was. Started in 1986. Brother Irv Manley and myself, we worked on those plans. I don't know how many times, Brother Manley, we drew plans and went over plans and turned them over to an architect, and we redrew them and went over them. And Brother Manley was so instrumental in getting phase one started. Well, here's what we did then. This is very important for you to hear. We were saving all the money we could. We had kind of a capital campaign. We raised money. Couldn't build the building, couldn't sell the building we had. Had land out here we purchased in 1979. Didn't have it paid for. We took a look after we'd saved money for 1 year, and then we had a builder to reestimate the cost of the building, and in 1 year's time, inflation on the building went up more than the money that we had saved. And we looked at this and said, look, we're fighting an endless battle. Because the building's going up in price faster than we can save money to get it started. And I told this story recently, but this came about in a watch night service in which we began to pray for some of our missionaries and some of our churches. We had one church here in the state that had built, and they'd overbuilt and didn't have the money, and the bank wouldn't finance it, and they were in real trouble. Brother Brian Wiseman down in Brazil was needing money for a new church, and our missionary in Mexico was looking for a printing press, and I'd just gotten letters on all of these. And I remember someone standing up in that watch night service and saying, you know, I think it'd be good if we just take some of our building fund money, because we're fighting a losing battle, and just send it to some of these people. We started praying about it, and we had pretty poor attendance in the watch night service. So I said, I tell you what I want to do. I want to talk about this Sunday night. So Sunday night when we all got together, I talked about it, and we ended up voting to give all of our building fund money away, every bit of it. So we sent some to Mexico for the printing press, and some to Brazil for the new church, and then the remaining part we gave to a church here in the state. And I remember taking the check over there, and I remember how they wept and cried and wept and cried and wept and cried. And when we voted to give this away, I'm telling you, the power of God came down in the place, and people shouted and danced in the Spirit. And many of you remember that service. And when I saw all those people face down on the concrete and the dirt, not dirt, but dust, where they were building their building, weeping and crying, it came to my mind the scripture that says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, after giving it all away, would you believe that the very next service we had to put out chairs because of the crowd we had? And we went from January 1 all the way to the end of the year, and we only had two services. One was around the 4th of July, and one was around Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving's on Thursday always, and we had a Thursday night service. But those two services, we didn't have to put out chairs, but all the others, we did. And we ended up parking out on the street. That's before Woodman's was built. all the way down to where Woodman's is now. In 1 year's time, we had sold our building, which we could not sell. We'd paid off the property out here, very valuable piece of property. And we had $150,000 in our building fund, which allowed us to get our plans drawn. And we decided we'd build the building ourselves, and that we did. But this is how this came about. And here, something is happening here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I'm just so glad that back then that we understood the times. And we knew what to do. And that we did it. And even though it defied logic, it was the right thing to do. Now, I've got to confess to you, I've been real concerned about capital campaign and raising building fund pledges. I purposefully, as I began to contemplate this year, set the World Missions Pledge Day before I set a day. I still haven't set a day to raise money for our building. Because I think that maybe I put the cart before the horse, not really realizing. You know, we taught our children. I was taught this when I was just real young in a Sunday school class. You spell joy like this: Jesus, others, and then you. If you put Jesus first, you put other people second, and put yourself last, then you're going to be happy. And I'm really feeling that we need a banner year in which we give to world missions. Send more money out than we've ever sent out before. And just leave this building in the hands of God. So, now, that doesn't mean we're not going to start another service. We've got plans. I want to talk about this. But Brother Putnam said something to me Sunday as we took him out to eat. He told me, he said, "Brother Grant, I hope that you never take for granted what's happening at your church." He said, "You know, I travel all over. He said, I don't know of another place that I visit that I feel what I feel at Calvary Gospel Church." He said, "It's like you're right in the middle of a gold mine. There's so many precious things happening." He talked about Jeff Merkus. He talked about Ben Thompson. He talked about Peggy Moran. He mentioned Larry Smith. He talked about Pastor Roy Grant, the healing of his knee. You know, after he left, I got to thinking about this. You know, well, I appreciate Calvary Gospel Church. Maybe I'm just not discerning what's really taking place around us. So in our staff meeting in the morning, the one thing we're going to discuss, and that is, can we, or what do we need to do to create a web page along with the other pages of our website in which we can interview these people and they can give their testimony? Because you can't believe the number of hits we're getting on our website from all over the world. Not only that, you can download the messages, and there's hundreds of messages downloaded per week, literally. And I would like to get them on video so that people could view the service, view the message live, kind of live in the same atmosphere that we live in. Now tonight, like I say, the attendance is a little low, and this is maybe a little bit lower key, but nevertheless, it's still the right thing to do for tonight. But wouldn't it be great if someone could see Jeff Merkus's picture and listen to his testimony? Wouldn't it be great if somebody could hear Ben Thompson's testimony? Both of these men were dead 15 or 20 minutes or more. Not breathing, no heartbeat, nothing taking place. In a matter of days, they're back here at the church worshiping God. How wonderful. I just believe that we've got to get the message out. We've got to capture the moment. We've got to seize the moment. The word seize means to capture, take hold of, or grasp, apprehend. So we can't afford to let all of these precious moments just slip away without sharing these with other people. Now, in the Bible, the way they shared things somewhat different from the way we share things. You know, they didn't have radios, no television, no magazines. Streets were not crawling with media people. You think now you really get the word out, but this is kind of a high-tech world we live in. And what I think we need to do, we need to make sure that testimonies like Larry Smith, who was healed of incurable lung cancer, that people hear about this, because the hospitals are full of people dying with lung cancer. And people that were healed of cancer, like Peggy Moran, the hospitals are full of people like her that have no hope. In Acts the 12th chapter, verse 24, let's just go there. Acts 12, verse 24. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Now, this has to do with the death of Herod. What was taking place here is that Herod had some people that, as he sat on the throne, they began to worship him and call him God. And he didn't rebuke them. He thought it was great. But while they were worshiping him, because Herod did not glorify God, the Bible says that the Lord struck him, smote him. He fell down dead, and immediately the worms began to eat his body. That's what the Bible says. As a result, in verse 24, the Bible says the word of God grew and multiplied. What we need to see is a multiplication of the word of the Lord. In Acts 19... Oh, this is a powerful passage of Scripture. This has to do with a gentleman who had a devil, and several people were going to cast this out and so forth. But the Bible tells us in verse 17, this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. Now, before we go any further, we just want to talk about magnification. You know, in the book of Psalms, repeatedly, Psalm 43, Psalm 40, even Luke, the first chapter, the Bible talks about the Lord was magnified. David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Now, what do you do when you magnify something? You don't make the image bigger than what it is. Because the image is what it is. But what you do is that you bring it into focus and bring it up close so that people can see actually what it is. If you're out deer hunting, you know, and you see this big buck 300 yards away and you take your glasses, you don't make the deer bigger. You just make him visible so that you can determine whether that is the trophy that you want or not? And you see, what happens when we magnify the Lord, we don't make him bigger, but we bring him into focus and make him clear so that people can see him, so they can determine, is this the God I want to serve? That's so important that we magnify the Lord. How do we magnify the Lord? In our worship, in our prayers, in our preaching. I keep going over this. I said the main focus of a prayer meeting is not prayer, but it's Jesus. The main focus of a worship service is not worship, but it's Jesus. The main focus of a preaching service is not preaching, but it's Jesus. When you make the main focus of preaching, you try to get into all the techniques and everything of preaching to make it just appealing to everybody. Trust me, you're going to leave out the most important ingredient, and that is Jesus Christ himself. I stopped preaching sermons a long time ago. I tell people, I don't preach sermons, I preach messages. And some of my messages are not easy to outline. Most of them are. But some of them are not. Because I feel that I have failed if I have not communicated Jesus to you to make him more appealing than what he is to you. I can't make him any bigger, but in your eyes, he becomes bigger. He's a God that rules the universe. How can I expand on him? But you see, if I can become so transparent that you feel Jesus, and isn't that true of prayer? Isn't that true of worship? And the whole point of modesty and the way you dress and everything is not to call attention to yourself, but to make yourself transparent so that when people see you, they don't really see you, they see Jesus Christ. And this is the whole point also of spiritual gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, the regulation of spiritual gifts. The whole purpose is to leave you in the background and project Jesus Christ out so that people say, he is alive in you of a truth, and fall down and worship him. So Christ was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How did the word of God grow? How was it multiplied? One man, seeing what has been done, and he goes and shares it with somebody else. And he shares it with somebody else, and he shares it with somebody else. So the one becomes two, and the two becomes four, and the four becomes eight, and the eight becomes 16. The 16 becomes 32, the 32 becomes 64. So, in short order, what you hear on Sunday can be heard throughout all the workplaces in Madison if you're willing to share it with people. But some places you can't share it that easily. But you can tell them, go to www.calvarygospelchurch.org. Click a few buttons. You can hear what I heard Sunday night. Also, we have a web page. It's full of miracles. I can prove to you, according to Scripture, separate and apart from the Bible, Israel kept a book in which they recorded miracles. That's all it was. They recorded small and great miracles. My, let's magnify him. (clears throat) 2011, what to expect? Expect more emphasis on prayer. Acts the 6th chapter, verse 9, and this is a pledge that I have made with God. And that has to do with the apostles. Acts the 6th chapter, verse 9, or verse 4, I'm sorry. The apostles appointed people over certain things, serving tables. This is where we find that deacons were chosen. They weren't called deacons here, but the word deacon means to serve tables. And the reason why is that the apostles wanted to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, for 2 or 3 years, I promised God, this is what I'm going to do. You have to understand, you know, I've been here 38 years, and every time somebody has something that they need to discuss with the pastor, they want to come to me. And that's understandable. But I'm only one person. If I do it for one person, pretty much have to do it for all. So we have a pastoral staff, a great pastoral staff. Pastor Andrew's back here. Raise your hand, Pastor Andrew. And then Pastor Roy, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Seidel, and then a host of other ministers, and Brother Russell attends our pastor staff meeting. What a great help the Russells have been. And I'm not doing this because I think I'm just more important than dealing with problems. It's just you can't do everything. And so I've tried to stick with this. I want to spend, you know, how long do I have to pastor? I'm 70 years old. A decade, maybe less. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to get in a rut. I don't want to sit back and say, well, I've done what I can do. And no, I want to be as productive as I can be. I don't have the energy I used to have. I confess to that. But I tell you what I can do. I can pray better than I used to pray. I understand the scripture more than I used to understand it. And I think I can share with you some very valuable principles of the Word of God in the next few years. And I think we can see this church grow and grow and grow and continue to grow. We can bust out the seams. We can magnify the Word. We can see it multiplied throughout Dane County. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. And while we're talking about prayer, you know, the pre-service prayer is so important. I'm still seeing a lot of people just come in and walk around and just talk. This is not a time for visiting. And you know the reason why some of you want to visit during prayer time? Because you don't want to pray. And you know what I always say when people ask me, why don't I pray? What do you think I tell them? Now, I've told you this so many times. I've had people say, I have a problem praying. I say, you know what your problem is? You don't love Jesus. Period. And anyone here that hears me and disagrees with me, you have that right to disagree with me, but you also have that right to be wrong. You can't tell me you're in love with Jesus and you don't know how to talk with him. You're not even for sure you want to talk with him. Who do you think you're kidding? Find yourself a place to park and stay there and close your eyes and get your mind on Jesus Christ. And if your mind wanders, then start repenting and discipline yourself. He saved your soul from hell. He went to Calvary's tree for you. Stripes were placed upon his back for you. You love him because he first loved you. But when your love begins to wane a little bit and your discipline slips, you need to go back to Calvary and repent again. Every day. I say every day. Oh, my. So we have our 18-hour prayer chain. We have the prayer chain, which made up mostly of ladies. Pre-service prayer, monthly prayer. The ladies have a monthly prayer. There's a quarterly 3-day fasting and prayer, and then we have the prayer force. But because a whole lot of people are praying, don't you let this very moment pass. Seize this moment and say, I'm going to have my own prayer life. I'm going to be a spiritual giant. I've been talking about getting spiritual for a long, long time. I've had people come in my office and say, Pastor, what do I need to do? I'll tell you in a moment's time how you can become a changed person. If you can walk out of here and change the matter between your two ears, you'll be a changed person. Don't think for a New York second that it's going to take some special service or something for you. All it's going to take for you to walk out there, walk in the sanctuary and lift up your hands and start worshiping God, you can be spiritual right now. Don't let the devil tell you you've got to fast 30 days and 30 nights. I'm not against fasting. I'm not against prayer, but I'm saying determine in your heart right now, I will be different. Yeah. 2011 is going to be my year. I'm going to seize the moment, but I'm not waiting for January 6th. It's going to happen January 5th. Before 9 o'clock tonight, you know, before I gave my heart to God, I always wanted to get my heart to God, but I always thought when I went to church, there's going to be a better night than tonight. I always thought that. There's going to be some evangelist going to come, and he's going to preach the word of the Lord and just knock my socks off. I waited and waited and waited, and that knock your socks off night never came. And I said, well, then I got real sick and very, very sick with a stomach ulcer. And I determined, hey, wait a minute. Why am I waiting? Brother Hawk said, looking at all the places, coming up with the wrong answer. All the wrong places. Acts 4:31, the Bible says the apostles were in prison. The Bible says they got together. The place where they prayed was shaken. That's what we need. What we need is when we have prayer that people really pray, that they concentrate, that they don't think about anything but just getting a hold of Jesus Christ. I'm right here. I'm talking with Jesus Christ. It's my time to talk with Jesus Christ. And listen, if I'm talking with Jesus Christ, and listen, it's an emergency, it's rude for you to come up and butt in. Amen? So let me pray. If it's an emergency, he will understand, yes. But we need some prayer meetings in which this place is just shaken. Shaken. Oh, another thing we're going to do, we're going to have more emphasis on evangelism. That's reaching the lost. We're starting our training of leaders again. The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership will start March 26th, I think we said, on Saturday. Go from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Peter and Casey Sandin are hosting this. Going to be great. I got to tell you, the first time I went through the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the very first lesson, the law of the lid, changed my thinking. The very first lesson. And the law of the lid simply states that what happens is that you've taken and you put a lid on your thinking, so you just go up so high, and you won't go beyond that, because nobody else has ever done it, and that's more than what most people are doing. So what we're taught in that is take the lid off, and let the sky be the limit. Start believing God for great things, big things, wonderful things. So we're going to train leaders. Also, we're going to train our ministers. We have 13 licensed ministers and several others. We want to start training for them. We're going to train workers, because we're planning on starting extension works in addition to another service. We want extension works throughout the city, different areas of the city. We do have a policy. We mentioned this, Brother Seidel. If you'll come up here and just read this policy, listen very carefully if you're interested in doing extension work.
Hallelujah. I will be as brief as I can. Calvary Gospel Church Extension Work Policy, Section 1, Purpose. As it is the desire of Calvary Gospel Church and the ministry of Calvary Gospel Church to fulfill the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to sow the seed of the gospel by establishing Calvary Gospel Church Extension Works throughout Dane County. Number 2, this effort shall be called Calvary Gospel Church Extension Ministry. Section 2, qualification of leaders. If you are interested in being a leader, and I'll kind of cut the first part of each of these out. It just says individuals desiring to begin or lead a Calvary Gospel Church or CGC extension, individuals desiring to begin or lead must have a full Bible salvation experience, which includes repentance from sin, baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Individuals desiring to begin or lead must have demonstrated faithfulness to God and the work of God by consistent attendance and involvement in regular CGC services, CGC prayer meetings and soul winning ministry, and home Bible studies and faithful financial support. Individuals desiring to begin or lead must have evidence of a consistent personal devotional life and the fruit of the Spirit. Individuals desiring to begin or lead must have demonstrated leadership abilities in the performance of ministry at Calvary Gospel Church. So that means, of course, already been involved in leadership in ministry. Individuals desiring to begin or lead must have completed appropriate life class training and be faithful in attendance at leadership training provided and required by Calvary Gospel Church. Individuals desiring to begin or lead must be submitted to and accountable to the pastor of Calvary Gospel Church and designated extension ministry leadership. Individuals desiring to begin or lead do not have to hold a minister's license with the United Pentecostal Church International. All right, so that this is for those who want to be the leaders of an extension work, and we're going to help a little more understanding with that in just a moment. Section 3, qualification of laborers. If you want to be involved, but you don't want to be a leader, but you want to commit yourself to this ministry to help someone who is beginning or leading a ministry. Those who wish to minister must have a full Bible salvation experience, which includes repentance from sin, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Those who wish to minister must have demonstrated faithfulness to God and the work of God by consistent attendance and involvement in regular Calvary Gospel Church services, Calvary Gospel Church prayer meetings, soul-winning ministry, and home Bible studies, and faithful financial support. Those who wish to minister must have evidence of a consistent personal devotional life and fruit of the Spirit. Those who wish to minister must be submitted to and accountable to the pastor of Calvary Gospel Church and designated extension ministry leadership. Those who wish to minister must have completed appropriate life class training. Section 4, relationship to Calvary Gospel Church. Each extension work shall be a part of Calvary Gospel Church extension ministry, and therefore a ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. The leaders and laborers of each Calvary Gospel Church extension shall report regularly to and be accountable to the pastor of CGC and designated extension ministry leadership. Financial and material support for any extension and financial material commitments by any extension shall be determined by the pastor of CGC and designated extension ministry leadership. Each extension shall be subject to periodic... Are we having fun yet? Each extension shall be subject to periodic evaluation by the pastor of CGC and extension ministry leadership of its current state of existence and its future prospects. CGC extension shall not be considered a daughter work or a home missions church, but an outreach ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. And that's a distinction that we need to understand. CGC extension may progress to become a daughter work or a home missions church, subject to the approval of the pastor of Calvary Gospel Church and the Wisconsin District of the United Pentecostal Church International. And last section, section 5. Everyone said, praise God, last section. General guidelines. The primary focus of each extension shall be the reaching and teaching of the lost with the gospel in the respective communities. Each extension shall receive support in the form of material and personnel based on the circumstances and need of the respective extension. It is the intention of, it is the intention of Calvary Gospel Church to increase the kingdom of God in Dane County through the extension ministry without detriment to the growth and well-being of the mother church, Calvary Gospel Church. All of the activities, part four, all of the activities of the extension ministry shall be directed to the glory of God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in accordance with the bylaws and guidelines of the United Pentecostal Church International and toward the increase of the kingdom of God in Dane County and in the state of Wisconsin. Praise God. Just a few words of clarification. The United Pentecostal Church International and the Wisconsin District have home missions and daughter work policies in place, and this is working within that framework. So the primary function of this policy, of this ministry, is to reach out to the surrounding communities. Right? There are copies of this policy out in the vestibule at the greeter station. Also, there are Voces Unidas flyers out there too, if you want some of those, and more information on Purpose Institute. But if you want to look at this policy, there are copies of it out there. So this is a policy for the outreach extension ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. The primary function is to reach out, is to reach the lost as a ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. It may develop into a daughter work, it may not. It can continue to be an extension work indefinitely. The sole purpose is to reach the lost, and it may become a daughter work, may become a home missions church, but that is not necessarily the primary purpose. I hope that's not muddy in the waters. Okay, if you are interested in either leading or becoming involved as a laborer, as a worker, and we're asking that if you are planning to be a part of it, that this is a burden, a ministry of yours, not just another place to attend church, but it becomes a ministry, an outreach ministry that you're involved with. Pastor Thomas will be the extension ministry coordinator. He's the guy that looks like Brother Grant over there. But if you have any questions, you can talk to anyone on any of the pastors. If you feel a burden to reach out to a particular area, if you want to be involved in outreach, if you feel called to be a leader, talk to one of the pastors, especially talk to Pastor Thomas. If you feel called to this type of direction, type of ministry, but you don't have a place in mind, but you really want to be involved in it, talk to Brother Thomas, and he will help you find direction. And maybe you feel like you need to be involved as a leader, but you don't have a location in mind, talk to Brother Thomas and Pastor Grant, and they will help give you the direction you need. And if you're interested in helping, but not necessarily leading, please take your burden to the Lord and take it to Pastor Thomas and Pastor Grant, and we'll reach our community.
Thank you, Brother Seidel, and thank you, Brother Seidel, so much for the work that you've done on this policy and our pastors who have worked so hard on this policy. I really, really, really do appreciate this. You know, we're out of Sunday school rooms, out of room here in the auditorium. Our buses are all broken down. We need new buses. We need some vans. And people just keep on coming and keep on coming, and we don't have room for them. So, you know, I'm thinking what Paul says, you know, there just seems to be trouble here, trouble there. I'd like you to stand with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Did I say 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Verse 8. Paul says, for ye can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And the secret to miracles is this. If you need a miracle, you do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you cannot do. Now, we need a miracle concerning this building. But I'm not in favor of just sitting back any longer and saying, okay, we just have to wait till somebody comes along and gives us several million dollars, I guess. Let's take the word of God to them. Why can't we have an outreach in the Middleton area? Why can't we have an outreach in Verona, the Allied Drive area? Why can't we have an outreach in McFarland or Stoughton or Oregon? What about DeForest? What about Portage, Wanakee? What about it? Now, each one of these ministries can be different. Perhaps someone has a burden for Sunday teaching of children. Maybe we could have a Sunday school. Maybe someone has a burden to teach home Bible studies and they are willing to just go rent a facility or secure a place in which they can teach a group home Bible study and then get people in that area involved. Don't all have to be the same. But the important thing is that we're spreading the word of God. It must be multiplied and Jesus Christ must be magnified. So let's seize the moment. 2011. Oh, God.